everybody, and welcome to another episode of F This Movie, the podcast that puts the ass in Asgard. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm joined today to talk about The Mighty Thor by Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are
I never
you?
Say your last name. Should I not? I was trying to respect your anonymity.
I really did.
And Mike Pomero is his name, everyone. His name is Mike Pomero. Look him up on Facebook.
You won't be sorry.
This is the F This Movie podcast, the official podcast of F This Movie, which you can find at fthismovie.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fthismovie. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/fthismovie. You can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on DVD Verdict at dvdverdictpresents.com. Thank you to Michael Staley and the DVD Verdict crew for hosting our show. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
All right, good. I'd like to get all that stuff out of the way at the very beginning. So yeah, we're talking about Thor today, which means that summer has started. Yes, it sort of unofficially started last week with Fast Five, but that kind of took everybody by surprise. Thor, to me, was always the official start of summer.
Me too.
And kicking off a giant comic book movie summer.
It is.
Thor, Captain America, X-Men First Class, and the Green Lantern. Craziness, and Thor gets it all started. But of course, before we start our discussion of Thor, Mike, have you seen anything lately? Not even good, just any, literally anything.
All right, good. I'm glad you didn't say good, because
yeah.
I
haven't seen anything good either, so.
It's not new, but it's new to me.
All right.
I saw Hatchet.
Okay.
Adam Green's Hatchet.
Okay.
And, I was a little disappointed, mm-hmm. to be honest. I went in, first of all, I thought it was a straight horror movie. I didn't know that it was a... It was funny.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Yeah, I had no clue. And, you know, I don't mind that sometimes. But for one, I was just disappointed that it wasn't
right.
straight horror.
Yeah.
Two, it wasn't... let me back up. I saw Frozen. You showed me Frozen.
Yes.
And I was a big fan of it.
It was good.
Yeah, and I thought that is not an easy movie to pull off at all. So it showed that Adam Green is someone who could, you know, write and direct. Mm-hmm. So I was looking forward to seeing... other films he had made. I thought, you know, this was a straight horror, you know, love letter to 80s horror slasher movies, which is right up my alley. So then about halfway through it, I was like, oh, this is awful. I mean, there was nothing about it I liked. It was, every joke, they would set up the joke, there'd be the punchline, and then there would be like three more punchlines to add on to that one punchline. So,
sure.
So no joke would die. Characters explained things you just saw on screen.
Right.
There was a lot of that going on. But about 45 minutes into it, we finally got to some of the gore. And then I started to perk up a little bit. And I was like, okay, this is what I signed up for. There were a lot of practical effects. I think even some stop motion animation. I could
really?
Be completely wrong.
I can't remember where there was any stop motion.
When the killer...
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers.
Someone dies.
Trevor Crowley, I believe, is the...
Victor Crowley.
Victor, oh, I'm
sorry. Trevor Crowley. Trevor.
That was his cousin. Man.
Trevor.
Victor.
Fear instilled.
Because Victor is...
Here well, Victor is slightly scarier than... look out, Trevor's going to get you.
That's debatable. But when he, like, rips a woman...
Yeah, yeah. That's sort of the...
To me, it looked like stop-motion animation. That could be completely...
Okay. I didn't think it was, but maybe it's because of the way the camera kind of circles around it, too.
And that's probably what it was, but I was impressed for a minute there. But, I mean, I like... There were moments, like spurts in that movie, especially the second half.
Pardon the pun.
Where I thought it was really clever, and, like, you know, there was one shot where he held this wide shot on these three characters who are off to the right of the screen... And you think the monster is to the left of the screen, mm-hmm. and your eye is just... He holds that shot for a long time, and you're completely drawn to the left side of the screen, and the action winds up popping on the right side, and it was totally effective to me. So I thought, you know, that was good. There were, like, some good moments here and there, but overall, I was really bummed out. It was not the movie I wanted.
Yeah, it's a fascinating movie, because I watched it... The first time I saw it, I had the exact same reaction as you. I was just like, what is this? I was not a fan, and I've since seen it a couple more times, and I've definitely warmed up to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's particularly funny. I don't think any of the characters really are likable, even the lead, not Joel David Moore, who's, I guess, kind of the lead, but the girl, Mary Beth, is that her name?
Yes.
she's replaced by Danielle Harris in Hatchet 2, which is a giant improvement. Not the movie, but being replaced by Danielle Harris.
Oh, I didn't know that was the same character. Yeah. Danielle Harris.
Yeah. Okay. It's a lot of just like, there's no, not that there's a story in any real slasher movie, but like, at least there's sometimes a sense of like place and purpose. This is just people like running around in circles in a swamp, you know, mm-hmm. waiting to be killed. And the kills are definitely good. I mean, yeah. they're way over the top, and very entertaining if you like that sort of thing. I think the movie is a little bit self-satisfied and a little too pleased with itself. And it has this huge fan base, which is fascinating to me. And maybe it's just people really wanting to cling to a new sort of horror icon. Although I don't know that Victor Crowley is a Jason or a Freddy, you know.
Trevor Crowley.
Trevor Crowley had a chance. But I do enjoy it now, just for what it is. It's very short. It goes by very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so now you haven't seen Hatchet 2.
No. And I do admittedly want to see it, but I'm not going to run out.
I don't even know if it's as good as the first Hatchet. So based upon your feelings about the first Hatchet, it does take place like the very instant that Hatchet stops.
Okay.
And I will say I like the ending of Hatchet a lot.
Oh, I do too.
It has a really good ending.
I do too.
And I'm a sucker for that. So when I watch it and it ends the way it does, I'm always like, hey, that was pretty good. Like, actually, no, it wasn't. But those last 10 seconds were.
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that that you hate Hatchet.
Me too.
That you hate Adam Green. He's and you hate Trevor Crowley.
I do. If I could add on really quick.
Please do. Hatchet cast.
Well, not even to Hatchet, just before we move on to what you've seen.
Oh.
Unless you're going to keep going with Hatchet.
No, I'm fine.
I also watched, for anyone who's a fan of pro wrestling or was a fan of pro wrestling, that's a category I think I'd fall under.
Mm-hmm.
WWE has a lot of their movies on Netflix Instant right now.
Oh, okay.
And I just watched The Rise and Fall of WCW, and maybe it's just me, but I thought it was fascinating.
Really?
Really interesting.
Okay.
It's like an hour and 45 minutes, and honestly, probably could have been even longer, because at times I thought it felt rushed, like I wanted them to spend a little more
time. They really gave NWO the short trip.
But I thought it was really interesting. I don't watch wrestling anymore, but for some reason I find the business of professional wrestling really interesting.
Yeah.
So you get a, you know, cool glimpse into what went right and then what eventually went wrong with the WCW.
And do you need to have been a fan of WCW to appreciate it?
I don't think so, because I grew up watching WWF or WWE. Now,
did you ever watch WCW?
When the Monday Night Wars started, I eventually got involved in that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was
Monday
always
Monday Night Wars.
Well, that's what they were.
No, listen, I believe you, but you sound like an authority. I didn't know there were Monday Night Wars.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
That's what it was called. But I would probably still continue to watch WWE. But I watched some WCW. I was well aware of who they were. I knew Goldberg and the NWO.
Sure, I know who some of those guys are. So I will totally watch that. Yeah,
I thought it was really interesting, and especially
because it approaches it more from like not a business standpoint, but it's more theoretical. Like you don't have to necessarily know what was going on in WCW to appreciate it.
Correct. Well, like, cool. I just what I found interesting is that how many guys I grew up with in the WWF that actually started out in WCW or AWA or whatever they were at the time.
NWA, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah. I knew Ric Flair, but, Dusty Rhodes and, of course, now I can't think of anyone else, but Dusty Rhodes and
Trevor Crowley.
Trevor Crowley
got his
was
start.
One of them, yeah. But, no, it was really good.
All right. I'm totally
liked it.
I will totally watch that.
And they have one, like, History of WrestleMania, I think, is on there right now. And
maybe I'll watch that, too.
That could be really interesting.
Shit.
You're a fan of WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, I am. What? Capacity crowd at the Pontiac Silverdome.
On your birthday, right?
That's right.
Yep.
87, right? That was my tenth birthday, everyone. That's right. I'm 25. I haven't seen anything good either. I've watched a bunch of stuff on Netflix and since very little of it is worth mentioning unless you want to have a long discussion about Phantasm 2.
No, but I just noticed that was on there and I've never seen any Phantasm movie.
Okay. That was the only one I hadn't seen.
Oh, okay.
Was 2.
Cause I noticed, cause I believe for a little while, 2 wasn't, it was like 1, 3, 4.
Yeah. Well, 1, 3, and 4 are distributed by Anchor Bay. 2 was not, because 2 is the only one that, like, was put out by a major studio, Universal, I think, distributed to back in the 80s okay. when it came out. And so it's interesting from that perspective, like, that here's this very strange low-budget horror movie that a major studio gets a hold of and tries to say, okay, now we're going to put out a version. And so it's definitely gorier, and they replace the lead actor with James LaGrosse, so it's a recognizable actor. It's not a better movie. It's just kind of different. And
is it like a remake of
Phantasm? No, I mean, it's definitely sequel in the sense that, like, any of them are sequels, but for the most part, they're all practically remakes of each other. Okay. Again, the Phantasm series has a very devoted fan base.
It does.
I think it's an interesting series. I don't think it's like any other horror movie series that exists, but I can't say that I love it. It, you know, for everything that kind of works, there's five or six that you're just like, this is not for me. But, you know, whatever. So I did watch that, and I have seen Yogi Bear more times than I care to admit in the last week, because my son, who is two, we're slowly trying to introduce him to movies, because obviously we want to get him hooked, like crack dealers. We want to get him hooked on this. And he and I went for a walk, and on our walk, we rented Yogi Bear, and we brought him home, and I was like, let's see if he'll sit and watch a movie, because obviously we're just trying to build him up to where he's willing to go to a theater and sit and watch a movie, because we don't feel like we're there yet. You're very fortunate because your daughter is there and has been there for a while. So you guys can go to movies. We cannot.
Unless it's Ringo. She wanted out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So you did not stay for all of Ringo?
No. And that's we've taken her to a handful of movies. She's sat quietly for all of them, but Ringo.
No kidding.
15, 20 minutes in, she was ready to bounce.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yes.
All right. So Ringo. Good to know.
Yeah.
So brought home Yogi Bear. Went downstairs to watch it, and, you know, he was, like, sort of, he was into it for a while, and then he got distracted and just kind of played for a good 20 minutes, and then he came back for the end and sat with me and watched it. And it's a really short movie. It's just over an hour. I mean, it's crazy short. The second it was over, I was like, okay, that's it for Yogi Bear, and he wanted to watch it again. So we put it on again, and then I think that day we had it on, like, three times or four times. Then, I had to return it, obviously, the next day, which he doesn't understand. That's a concept he doesn't grasp yet. He woke up the next morning and said, Yogi Bear movie? And I was like, sorry, we had to take that back, which he didn't get. So luckily I did purchase Yogi Bear, so now I own Yogi Bear.
Perfect.
We've watched it a bunch of times. Not a good movie, but I almost enjoy it now because I see how much he likes it. Yeah, you know, it's that I haven't really had that yet where it's like – I'm enjoying something through him because for the most part, he's only been interested in like Thomas, the Tank Engine and no one can enjoy that. so I can't get any enjoyment out of that, but Yogi Bear, it's like, well, this is fun, even though it's horrible.
Right.
Cause he likes it. And speaking of horrible, I also saw Skyline.
Oh, okay.
Did you see Skyline?
No.
I don't know what to say about it, except that it is it's entertaining. It's horrible in a way that is very entertaining.
All I'd ever heard about it was that the special effects for the amount of money spent is really impressive. Is it?
Yeah, I was never able to get an actual figure on how much the movie cost, because it's anywhere from like $1.5 million to $10 million.
Right.
I guess even at $10 million, yeah, very impressive.
Okay.
And again, it's directed by these two guys who own their own effects house, I think, right? The Brothers Strauss. Like, go fuck yourself. Calling yourselves the Brother Strauss. They made Alien vs. Predator Requiem, which I did not see. Did you?
No, that's the one I haven't seen.
Okay. That's supposed to be horrible, too. Yeah. Although, when I first saw the trailers, I was like, well, that looks better than Alien vs. Predator, which
is not good.
No, not at all. So I didn't see that. I would recommend Skyline if you're a fan of things that are terrible, if you're a fan of Alien movies. Don't watch it alone, because that's just a soul-crushing experience that I had. Get a group of friends together and watch it that way, because it's definitely a movie that you're going to want to, like, goof on out loud.
Okay.
I can't even put it into words. I mean, especially the last 5 minutes of that movie, you're just like, you can't believe what you're seeing.
Is it boring? like bad boring?
I don't think it ever becomes boring.
Okay.
Because it's so out there and kind of bad. I mean, and you can see what it's trying to do, and there's flashes of like, oh, there could have been a movie that worked in this, but man, there is not. And at one point, there's a giant alien invasion. People are getting sucked up into the sky by the hundreds. People are having their brains sucked out of their heads. This group of people are holed up in an apartment building. Several of their friends have vanished or been killed. And another, like, there's a conflict in one scene because one of the girls is smoking and the other one is pregnant and she doesn't want her secondhand smoke around her unborn baby.
Okay.
They have a fight about that in the middle of this.
Okay.
So that's the kind of movie it is. Yeah, really, really awful. So definitely see it, but ironically, which I don't usually advocate, but, yeah, so that's what I've seen.
All right.
And of course, Thor, which I guess we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk about Thor without spoilers, because again, we try and do that when movies are new. We try to not spoil them. Maybe at the end we'll get into spoilers, but we'll give lots of warning so you can turn this off. So Thor, obviously kicking off the summer, and a few weeks ago, you and I and Adam did a podcast about superhero movies, and at the end we talked about Thor, and we're all like, I don't know about Thor, because the previews were terrible. And now the movie is out, and what did you think of Thor?
It was a complete opposite of my experience with Hatchet. I went into Thor expecting the worst, and actually, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I kind of liked Thor. The trailers, yeah, like we had talked about, did not sell the movie that I saw to me. Like, everything about the trailers I hated. Admittedly, I don't know a lot about Thor.
It's one
of those comics I didn't read, and it just didn't necessarily appeal to me. I didn't think I'd care about Asgard and you know, these gods, and I knew the movie would have that. I thought the movie would be, I was fearful it would be like a fish out of water movie where we get Encino Man, and I'm uninterested in that because it's, you know, who could do it better than Encino Man? The only line of dialogue I remember Chris Hemsworth saying in the trailer is the, you know, you're big, I fought bigger.
Yeah.
And like that alone, I'm like, oh, if this movie wasn't called Thor, I would not be seeing it. But I wound up walking away. And maybe it's because I did such negative feelings going into it. But I walked away actually liking it.
Yeah, I did too. And I'm having such a hard time with my reaction to Thor because, I mean, obviously you just described sort of the same way that I felt about it. I had low expectations going in, although about 24 hours before I saw it, I started to get excited about it.
Okay.
Maybe because the reviews were coming out and they were all pretty positive.
Right.
And I just kind of wanted to like it, so I started to get kind of psyched about it. And I definitely liked it, and I think it's really entertaining. But at the same time, I'm not running around like I didn't come out of it all charged up. I didn't come out of it really excited about what I had just seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily feel the need to tell everyone like, oh, you should really see Thor. It's a movie that has a lot of problems, but it's not even that like I had a bunch of problems with it. I recognize what the problems are, but I'm not sitting there picking it apart. It's just, it was fun. It was entertaining, but I don't know. I just can't get that super excited about it, and I don't know why that is.
I can't get that super excited about it either. I think I'm as excited about it as I am, again, because I actually...
It's better than you expected.
Right,
exactly. Definitely.
But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Spider-Man 2, right, you know.
Right, but even like Iron Man, which, I mean, I probably had more affection for the Iron Man comic book than I do for Thor, because I really haven't read Thor either. I only know him from, like, reading Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Even Iron Man, I went into sort of uncertain because I just felt like, boy, how are they going to make an Iron Man movie? This is a character that I don't think a lot of people care about.
Right.
And I came out of it like, wow, they really nailed that. And I mean, I think they made as good a Thor movie as they could have, I think.
And yet
I still am not like, oh, everybody go see Thor, even though it's good. People should see Thor, you know?
I agree. I don't know if it's the same for you, but I completely agree with what you said about Iron Man, but I came out of that movie excited and charged up probably about Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. And there wasn't that in this. And I liked Chris Hemsworth way more than I thought
I would. See, I think there almost was that in this. Because I think, Chris Hemsworth, I think, is really, really good. And almost alone makes the movie worth seeing. Mm-hmm. And again, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I can't say. More than anything, it got me excited to see him in the Avengers.
I'm with you there, yes.
And I'm already assuming the Avengers is going to be a much better movie. And so I'm like, he's great. I like the character. I like his performance. I can't wait to see him in a movie I care about.
Well, I had a very similar thought because I've been excited about the Avengers, but the one character, the one thing I was nervous about was Thor in the Avengers. Because again, the trailer, he was like Johnny Bravo. He was a guy who fit the suit. He looked like Thor, and I was convinced, like, that's probably why they cast him. And it's gonna be, he's gonna have these awful one-liners, and I'm not gonna care about him. But no, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I think he's really good. I worry that you just said awful one-liners. I'm so worried that that's what the Avengers is gonna be. It's just superheroes trading.
I'm sure they have to
one-liners with each other. They have to compete, you know? Right, exactly. No, don't do that if you're listening, Joss Whedon. Did you see the movie in 2D or 3D?
I saw it in 2D.
As did I. Okay. I had no interest in seeing it in 3D. And I only asked because if you saw it in 3D, I was going to ask, well, how's the 3D?
Right.
Because I think a lot of people are going to go see it in 3D. And that's fine if you dig 3D. I don't. And especially not post-conversion 3D. So I made it a point to not see it in 3D.
Same here.
And I can't imagine that the 3D would have added anything. Except, I mean, there's some stuff, I guess, in Asgard that might have looked neat. But again, I just don't care about 3D. What I liked about Thor, and again, there's a bunch of stuff I liked about it. I wish I was, like, way more excited about it than I am. It was obviously, I think, a superhero movie unlike just about any other superhero movie we've seen, if only because, you know, every other superhero movie has taken place on Earth, basically, that they try and ground it in reality, and this movie was not at all. This movie is about gods and outer space, and I liked that, and it wasn't afraid to be really out there and really over the top with, like, the production design. I think
it worked.
Yeah.
That stuff really worked for me.
I mean, the stuff on Earth is actually the stuff that was less interesting to me.
Absolutely, and that shocks me, because I really thought I wouldn't respond to, you know, the Asgard and that other stuff the way I did. But
I get really why they had to do the Earth stuff, obviously, because I think there's a lot of people who aren't comic book fans who don't want to see an entire movie that takes place in Asgard.
Correct.
But I think, I think they did a really good job of making a movie that's going to appeal to people that could care less about Thor, who might have otherwise been turned off by a lot of the Asgard stuff. I think it's pretty accessible. And I think a lot of people are going to come away really liking the movie. And I like also that, again, we had talked, I think, on the superhero podcast about, like, Kenneth Branagh on paper, he's a good choice. I didn't know how he was going to do. I actually think he did a really good job.
I do too.
And I like that he wasn't afraid to make, you know, because he's obviously known for directing Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. He wasn't afraid to make everything really big, like capital letters, all the emotions, everything is like supersized, and you have scenes of people screaming at each other. That scene with Odin and Thor, obviously, where they have their big falling out. I mean, they're just screaming at each other, but it never felt, it was over the top, obviously, but it never felt like self-serious.
Yeah.
Everything's way over the top, but it's always sort of still in a fun way. Even though the emotions are big and not always, like, goofy emotions, it's not, you know, a movie that's entirely about having fun and being funny or whatever, but it never took itself too seriously.
Exactly. And I think the performances get a lot of credit for that as well. What'd you think of Anthony Hopkins?
I thought he was okay, you know, it's...
I thought he was good, because I'm really getting, you know, when I saw he was cast, it makes me roll my eyes. I'm like, of course he was cast.
Right. He's the go-to guy for that.
Right, exactly. And I think more often than not lately, it seems like he's
phoning it in.
Exactly, right. Phoning it in. But I didn't get that in this.
If nothing else, I was excited to see him and Rene Russo on screen together because it's the Free Jack reunion that I've been waiting for. No, in the first few minutes when he's doing that voiceover,
yeah,
I was not happy. And I was like, I'm not going to like Thor because these are very minor spoilers. This is the first few minutes of the movie. It opens with like a little bit of a prologue that takes place on Earth, and then it goes into Anthony Hopkins doing a voiceover and sort of giving the backstory of Asgard and these gods. And I was not liking it because every fantasy movie you see opens with that, just nonsense names and locations and voiceover and once upon a time. I mean, it's the first 10 minutes of Lord of the Rings. Right. And I just was like, oh, please don't be this movie. And again, they give it a context that then I was sort of okay with. And the movie never really falls back on that kind of stuff again. So I was able to look past it because
right.
I do think it kind of gets better as it goes along. But what I like about, again, Thor versus other superhero movies, is that he's not a guy with like a dual personality. It's not Batman where it's like, how do I exist as Batman and Bruce Wayne or Peter Parker and Spider-Man? He's Thor all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's not about a guy learning to be a hero. In fact, it's the other way around, sort of. You know, they have to teach a lesson, and it's the same Spider-Man lesson about great power and great responsibility. But I like that aspect, that he's just Thor all the time, and it's about what it means to be a hero, or, you know. I liked that. I don't know. It was just different enough from other superhero movies. I do think it sort of distinguishes itself. At the same time, it feels kind of undistinguished in my mind, you know, like I come out of it almost the same way I came out of the Incredible Hulk, the Louis Leterrier one,
okay.
Where it's like, that was good. They did a good job. I was entertained. I don't really have that many complaints. At the same time, I'm almost already forgetting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe that's not fair because like you said, I think Chris Hemsworth is really, really great and alone makes the movie worth seeing. I think there's other reasons to see the movie too, but I liked him so much that I would recommend the movie just to see him.
How about Natalie Portman?
Not as big a fan, and it's not entirely her fault.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know that I blame her.
No.
I feel like she probably did the best with what she was given.
Right. Her part is the weakest thing in the movie,
exactly.
I think, for a lot of reasons. One is that the relationship between her and Thor, I think, is very underdeveloped. And there are scenes later in the movie and choices that are made that don't make sense given how underdeveloped their relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she's often required to either deliver exposition or be the cutaway, like, joke. I mean, Kat Dennings obviously has more of that, where she has the wacky comic relief. But
right.
there's a moment in Thor that is like where everything's coming together, and it should be the big swelling kick-ass moment, and it cuts to Natalie Portman going like, "Oh my god!" And it's like, "No, no, 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 no. We don't need a laugh here. It's okay. Like, let's just be excited about what's happening. We don't have to undercut it by giggling." So it's not that she's bad. I think she just didn't have much of a part to play.
Right. As far as the fish out of water stuff, that said, I was fearful of. I realize you need some of it because
right.
he's not from Earth. But I thought they handled it just right. There's just enough of it. Like, I was a little nervous at first when he's on Earth. He's in the hospital. He wakes up screaming, "I'm the son of Odin." I really thought we're going to get a lot of that.
Right.
We really didn't. Like,
right.
Once you got past that scene, at least as far as that "I'm the son of Odin" crap, where it just seemed like an out of control god who wanted, you know, who thought himself better than everyone around him. It was really like, it was after that scene, I thought he was much more grounded and, which I was very happy with because I didn't want that movie, and I thought it very easily could have been that movie.
But I even like that he had that beat, because I like
how willing
they were to make him angry.
You know? Oh yeah, I absolutely. I think it totally makes sense.
Right.
My fear was that we'd have a lot more of it than
right.
than right. we actually did.
Right.
That it, you know, I'm glad they sped that part along. Where,
and there's that scene, and it's in all the trailers where he's eating in the diner, and that's the big sort of fish out of water scene where he smashes the coffee cup. And I mean, it's funny, but we've seen it 20 times already. Right. The scene in the hospital bummed me out because it repeated, you know, again, spoilers, but again, just for the trailers of Thor. If you've been literally avoiding the trailer, then I guess turn this off. Right. But if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the scene where he first freaks out and Kat Dennings tases him, you know, mm-hmm. and then, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes later, they repeat the same joke in the hospital. Right. And it's like, no, you can't just keep doing that joke over and over again.
But meanwhile, our theater cracked up.
Oh yeah. No, the theater laughed. This movie really played to the theater I was in, which I'm happy about,
yeah, me too.
You know, and just when there would be those kinds of things that you're talking about, that scene where I'm the son of Odin or these dumb jokes or whatever, for the most part, the movie would course correct and not necessarily go back to that thing that I didn't like. You know what right. I mean?
No, I understand.
Even stuff that I have issue with, there's only like maybe one or two examples of it in the movie. It's not like, I recently, rewatched Roland Emmerich's Godzilla for a column on F this movie.
Okay.
And, there's a movie that just like, there's a bad joke in the first 5 minutes. And like, that's a sign of things to come because that's the humor that's going to be here for the next 2.5 hours. And Thor isn't really like that. There's like one or two things you roll your eyes, but then they don't do it again. So it's okay. I thought the supporting cast for the most part was fine to good. You know, we talked about Natalie Portman. I liked Idris Elba as the bridge keeper. I apologize for not knowing his name. I was not crazy about the Warriors. Aren't they called like the Warriors 3? But there's four of them.
There's four, right.
Because it's a girl, and I don't know that she's part of the Warriors 3, and then the other three.
I thought
their acting was strangely out of place with the rest of the movie.
I would agree.
Like, kind of not good.
Right.
Including the dude that played the Punisher, right?
Right, exactly.
Under a big fake beard.
Right, he looked like Gimli.
Yeah.
Tall. Yeah, no, I agree. They were my least favorite part, at least, as far as that world's concerned. I like Loki.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. I mean, and he had an interesting arc. You know, the problem with Thor, as is the problem with so many comic book movies, especially the first installments, I don't think they necessarily had a great villain. I don't think Loki was necessarily a great villain. I liked him in the movie. I thought he did a good job. I thought he had an interesting character arc. But in terms of being a villain, I don't... And the movie isn't even that interested with... He doesn't have, like, a big evil that he has to defeat, necessarily. It's more just sort of an introduction to this character and this universe. It's you know... Cynically speaking, it's the launch of a franchise.
It is,
you know?
Yeah.
And in that respect, it worked.
Yep.
I didn't come away with it saying like, oh, great bad guy, you know?
I wouldn't say he was a great bad guy, but like everything else in the movie, he was much better than I had anticipated. Cause you're right. I thought he had a good arc. He wasn't simply just,
right.
You know, the evil twin or the evil brother.
Right. You know, but I didn't really feel like the movie gave us a sense of what he can do.
I'll give you that. Yes. I agree.
He didn't seem that menacing to me because we didn't really get a sense of his power, I don't think.
Right.
We definitely got a sense of Thor's power, which is great, so I think you sort of need to balance that by showing us what Loki is capable of as well, and the movie didn't really do that. And the Frost Giants are okay, but they're not interesting, you know? They're
visually
like,
interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, they might as well just have been zombies,
sure.
You know? They're just, they all look the same, they're
right.
easily dispatched, it's just like, they try and give them a little bit of a story, but it's like, no, don't care, there's just a bunch of them, and that's what makes it good, I guess.
It's probably fine, because I have a sneaking suspicion we won't see them again.
No, I seriously doubt it. And again, having not read the Thor comic book, I don't know who his villains are, aside from Loki.
I was gonna say I only know Loki.
Right. I'm waiting for the Beta Ray Bill movie.
You're probably not alone.
I like that you know, there's only a few sort of big action set pieces. It's not really like a wall to wall action movie. And I will say I liked that each of the action sequences have as much to do with character as they do with action. I didn't ever feel like there was just like a generic fight scene. You know, at the end of Iron Man, I think JB has pointed this out on the podcast before, that he kind of checks out at the end of Iron Man because it's just these two CGI things beating each other
up. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have a lot invested or whatever. And I felt like in this movie, we get the first battle scene and Thor's kind of in one place. And then we get some stuff in the middle and he's in another place. And by the last action set piece, he's in a new place altogether. Yeah. And I thought that was... I thought that was good and unique to this movie. I think a lot of times, especially when we get to the climax of these comic book movies, they just kind of go on autopilot, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't think this movie did, which I have to give it credit for.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought it felt, I mean, you pointed this out earlier, like it felt big mm-hmm. with all these locations and, I was really impressed with it. I'm surprised with how much I liked it, but I am very similar to you that I'm not screaming from the mountaintops that everyone should go see Thor, and I wish I was, and I'm sure it's going to make a shitload of money, and I'm happy that it will.
Yeah, me too, because I think they did a good job, and Marvel again continues to, they're weird because when they get it right, they really get it right,
they do.
And then when they get it wrong, they really get it wrong, you know. But we had applauded the choice of Kenneth Branagh before, and I think he was the right guy for this.
Turns out, yeah.
And I think Chris Hemsworth is like such a find, and in the way that Robert Downey Jr. really makes Iron Man, he makes this movie, mm-hmm. I think, you know, and that's what has me so super excited about the Avengers now. Having not even seen Captain America, I'm a Chris Evans fan anyway.
Me too.
So I'm excited about Captain America. But I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. But just the idea of Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark and Chris Hemsworth's Thor in the same movie has me really excited. I mean, even...
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about the idea of an Avengers movie anyway, and I like all these characters, and I, you know, it's a big, huge comic book movie, but, like, specifically these actors in that movie has me way more excited than I used to be.
I agree. I'm excited about Mark Ruffalo
as Bruce Banner. Yeah, see, and I don't know if I am. I mean... I'm interested, but having not seen him before, I don't know, you know?
Right.
I don't know what to expect.
I was hoping, and I won't give away what they show at the after the credits, or I will give away that it's not Mark Ruffalo or The Incredible Hulk.
Right.
But that's really, I was really hoping for that, because I thought that would be a great way to introduce...
When the scene started... Did you think that's where it was going?
Yes.
I absolutely did as well. Absolutely.
I was very excited.
As was I.
And I was like, oh, this is a great idea because we haven't seen Ruffalo as a Hulk yet. So.
And there's a reference to it earlier in the movie.
There is, exactly.
Which is why I thought that's where this is going.
Right. So I was a little disappointed when it...
I thought the scene as a whole was a disappointment.
Yeah, I agree.
And very confusing if you're not a huge comic book nerd or you don't know what to expect from the Avengers. If you're just... this person who's going to see the new superhero movie, that scene is not going to make any sense to you. Nor is the cameo that comes in the middle of the film.
Oh, with Jeremy Renner?
Well, I wasn't giving it away, but sure.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
I don't think it's a...
It's been spoiled elsewhere.
Yeah.
I knew that it was there. Jeremy Renner makes an appearance halfway through the movie.
Yep.
Shot very much after the fact.
Right, I was...
Definitely feels inserted because he's going to be playing a Hawkeye in the Avengers. Again, which I'm really excited about. I think that's good casting. I like Hawkeye. So I'm on board. But at the same time, if you're just, you know, my mom going to see Thor, and you're all of a sudden you're like, what is Jeremy Renner doing in this movie? Because you don't know who he is. You don't know that he's going to be in the Avengers because you're not reading the same nerd blogs that we read.
Right.
It's just confusing. And maybe after the fact, if you were to go back and watch all these movies, then you start to put together all these pieces. But like...
Well, do you think it's a misstep?
Almost.
Do you?
Because I think it's distracting to someone who doesn't know what it's doing there.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Unless you're my wife who really likes Jeremy Renner, then I think it's a good distraction.
Does she know that he's Hawkeye and he's going to be in the Avengers?
She knew when I turned her. I was like, he's exactly. Be Hawkeye.
But if she didn't, I mean, you're just like,
yeah.
It's distracting. It's why you keep waiting for him to come back and then he doesn't, and you're just wondering, well, what the heck is that? Again, I appreciate Marvel's trying to build this whole world and all the movies connect with each other, and there's references to the Hulk, and there's references to Tony Stark, and there's Hawkeye, and... people show up in Thor And as much as I've read some people complain about the shield stuff in Thor, I felt it was much less intrusive than it was in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I think the shield stuff sort of sank Iron Man 2.
It absolutely did. Where here it felt like it belonged. It was more.
It sort of had a purpose.
I think it did have a purpose.
If nothing else, it was sort of the MacGuffin. It's just like, they have the thing I need.
Exactly.
Now I have to go get it, you know? And so at least their function is built into the movie.
Right.
Versus just showing up and saying, hey, join our team every 15 minutes like they do in Iron Man 2. I will say, though, that the resolution of the Thor shield storyline is like thrown away with this half-hearted line of dialogue. It's like, I'll be back in the Avengers. Okay, we got it. No problem.
See you May 12th the next year.
Yeah, right. Is it May 12th?
I don't know.
Oh, don't tease me.
Sorry.
I would have said, that's only a year away. Yeah, I always thought it was so bizarre that the little credit, post-credit scene in Iron Man 2 was them finding Thor's hammer, which is repeated in this movie.
Right.
That doesn't work. Because we already knew there was going to be a Thor movie.
I was going to say, it was the most disappointing one.
If we didn't, we would have, our heads would have exploded.
Right.
If that was the way that they told us, we're making a Thor movie, it was like, oh my God, it's like the Phoenix at the end of X-Men 2. It's like, oh my God. But knowing that there's going to be a Thor movie, it's like, you're telling us what we already know. Right. Whatever.
I agree. It's not like the end of Iron Man when he says, have you heard of the
Avengers initiative? Right. And even at that point, we didn't know for sure there was going to be an Avengers movie, but just the possibility of one, right? Yikes, that was super exciting. Let me read this email from a listener that we got, Kathy O'Brien, who saw Thor, I think, yesterday on opening day, and sent us an email at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com called Thor and Summer Blockbuster Burnout. And I'm not going to read the whole email. I'm just going to read pieces of it. I just want to put this out there. This is Kathy O'Brien speaking. I just want to put this out there to see if it's me or if I'm the only one who's so burnt out on all of the summer blockbuster trappings. No matter how well done the thing appears to be, I just can't connect with this film. She's speaking about Thor. And she says it's because she's never read Marvel in her life. She only reads DC. Despite the beautiful designs of Asgard and the ice people's realm, despite the good to great acting, and decent dialogue, great robot, and looking past the weird Hollywood political correctness, I just kept looking at this movie from the outside. They're showing Asgard, and I'm thinking, okay, so a bunch of computer nerds typed this up. Move on. People get hurt or killed. No emotional weight to any of it, because this is a summer blockbuster, and no one ever really dies. Here comes physics professor Barbie, of course, to turn into a giggling 12-year-old girl around the lead, who's still a complete tool when she meets him, but he's blonde and hunky, so ergo she loves him. Meanwhile, the male in her group is the one who does something proactive. Then here comes the point in the story where it all becomes about setting up a sequel. I'm trying to figure out if it's the movie that just didn't engage me, or for some reason, if it's just that it's such a slick product that my mind rejects it and can't see it as anything other than that the studio calculation shows all over it.
Huh.
What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are she should be here.
Talking about Thor.
Yeah, that's way more interesting.
I mean, in some ways, I feel like she's describing our reaction to the movie.
Yeah, maybe.
And at the same time, it's like, I don't know that I'm burned out on summer movies. But I think her email makes a lot of good points. I get excited about seeing summer movies.
I do too.
They showed a bunch of trailers before Thor. I got excited about almost every one of them, except for one with Zoe Saldana. Which came at the end. It's like, you showed four good trailers in a row, and then that's what you're going to end with?
Oh, I had Captain America after that one.
So okay, I had Captain America before it. Because it was like Super 8, Captain America, yep. X-Men,
Red Green Lantern.
Cowboys and Aliens. I did not have Green Lantern. Cowboys and Aliens. And then the Zoe Saldana Luc Besson movie that looks like every other Luc Besson movie. I like that new Green Lantern trailer.
I do too.
That finally has me excited about the movie.
I wanted to touch on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go back to that.
Okay.
So I think some of what she's describing, I absolutely identify with. That it's like, it's this big spectacle that just stays on the screen, and I enjoy it, and I'm entertained by it, and we've talked about a bunch of things that I like and respect about it, and I feel like more than anything, I'm impressed that they were able to pull off a Thor movie. I didn't think they could do it. Even after I saw the trailers, I didn't think they were going to do it. And I'm it's an impressive achievement that, like, no, they made this work. But I'm not connecting to it in the way that I want to.
My fear is I'm going to go back to this movie, you know, 6-8 months from now, when it's on DVD.
Yeah.
And I'm really not going to like it, or at least not like it the way I am as I sit here today. I have a feeling this movie, I really hope I'm wrong, but I'm fearful that, again, for the millionth time, I went into it thinking I was not going to like it.
Right.
Came out very pleasantly surprised. And this has happened to me with movies before. And then when I then go revisit it, then I'm like, oh.
Right.
No, this,
because now you have high expectations.
Exactly.
Because you remember being impressed by it or being pleasantly surprised by it.
Right, exactly.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's not.
Well, we just went through this on when you and I did the Minority Report podcast. I was actually a big fan of Minority Report, and probably for a lot of the same reasons. It was much better than I thought it would be. And then when I watched it again for the podcast, I was like, oh God, this is not as good as I remember it. I'm a little fearful that's what's going to happen this time around, but.
And it may, and part of me thinks that I actually may end up liking it even more.
I hope I do. Yeah.
That it's the kind of movie that will be fun to put on and just be entertained by.
Yep.
And that I can just sort of enjoy Chris Hemsworth's performance and the crazy stuff in Asgard. You know, I liked looking at a lot of it.
I do too.
Though I could have done without all of the Dutch angles. I felt like either Kenneth Branagh was like inspired by the 60s Batman show. When I see that, it always smacks of like first-year film student.
Oh, that's what it always smacks of.
Right, which obviously we know Kenneth Branagh isn't. So then my mind moves to like, oh, he doesn't understand comic books. And so he thinks, oh, I want the movie to look like a comic book. And they rarely have just regular angles, right? So we have to tilt everything. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. Maybe he was just trying to give it a look all its own. I mean, I didn't necessarily find it distracting the way that I found, like, the wipes in Phantom Menace distracting.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's like, what are they all doing there? So I don't know. I totally understand what she's describing in that email.
I absolutely do, especially with the Natalie Portman.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great point. I mean, because there is a scene where she does literally just is reduced to giggles. That's embarrassing.
Exactly.
She's supposed to be this brilliant scientist, and it's, okay, we get it. She has a crush on Thor because he's tall and Australian and hot, but, like, come on, you know?
Exactly.
I really didn't think their relationship worked until their very last moment together. I thought that worked, and I thought they played that very well. But everything before that, I'm just like, what are they seeing in each other?
Right.
You know, I sort of get what she sees in him, but he's a god. What does he see in her?
He saw Black Swan.
Yeah, right. But then he found out she didn't do all the dancing. I mean, the Xena that he's fighting with is like, would catch my eye, I think, more than the tiny scientist, but whatever. So I don't know. I mean, I understand that summer movie burnout, and I saw Fast Five last weekend, and I liked that, much to my surprise. I enjoyed Thor, so far I'm on a roll, but I certainly get to that point every year where it's just like, another boring summer spectacle. And this summer looks to be better than most because there's stuff coming out that I'm excited about.
Me too.
Yeah,
I'm hoping this summer is the exception to that rule.
Yeah.
I've been the same way. By the end of the summer, I'm completely burnt out. But there's enough that's keeping me excited right now, at least.
I think to some extent, not only are we going to be burned out on like summer event spectacle, but on comic book movies.
I know, which is, you know,
how many can they make? You know, it used to be it was like a special event. You got like one a summer, and it was like that's what you look forward to. There's four coming out this summer. There's four or five next summer.
Right.
It's out of control.
It is.
All right, so now we're going to spoil some stuff about Thor. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, we're both recommending it, I think. Again, I don't like quantifying things. It's like, it's a good summer movie. Because if a movie is good, it's good any time of year. Okay. But like, I think there's a certain thing that people want when they go see a movie in the summer months. And I think Thor delivers all that.
Absolutely.
I guess that's the way of saying it's a good summer movie. But I feel like that's not doing it's like a backhanded compliment.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah, because when people say summer movie, I don't think they think...
they usually mean, like, it's stupid and mindless, exactly. But it's entertaining, and, like, it doesn't have to be just correct. Because it's a summer movie. But, like, I think if you want a big spectacle, if you want something that's super entertaining, I think Thor is that.
I would totally agree.
Where would you... I'm sorry, before... We'll spoil stuff in just a second. Where would you place Thor sort of in the pantheon of superhero movies? Better than, worse than. How's that?
Better than Iron Man 2.
Okay.
Worse.
Don't say Iron Man 1. that's a cheat.
Damn, man. Better than Iron Man 2. Worse than Spider-Man 2?
Spider-Man 2 is the best. All right, fine. You can't say that.
Damn it. Better than Iron Man 2. Worse than... I might even say better than Spider-Man. No, okay. This completely backfired on you, hasn't it?
No, that's right.
I'm trying to think of more...
Yeah.
Worse than Dark Knight, but Dark Knight's one of the best.
Right, yeah, you can't.
I'm having a hard time. You gotta pick one of those sort of middle. It's up there.
It's like upper middle, right? That's like where I would place it.
Yeah. Well, how many movies would you place ahead of it, really? Now that I think about it. I mean...
Probably Iron Man.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Probably, and that, but I mean, a lot of the obvious choices, like anything we picked, really for our best of list, except you had the Incredible Hulk on there, and I don't know that I would place Incredible Hulk ahead of it. Would you?
I don't think so.
Okay, I mean, they might even be about the same, but maybe not even. I think Thor, in some ways, is more entertaining, and if nothing else, I liked Edward Norton. In Incredible Hulk, but I think Chris Hemsworth as Thor is much more fun to watch.
Right.
And a better character that stands outside of the movie.
And I would argue Thor remains entertaining throughout.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know that Hulk does. I really like maybe the first half of Hulk.
And yeah.
By the end of the Incredible
Hulk. I barely remember the last half of that movie, right. Honestly.
I think that says it all.
That first Spider-Man, I don't know. I mean, it's... Because, again, I have a lot of problems with the second half of Spider-Man.
Right.
So, it's at least probably as good as, if not better, than the original Spider-Man.
It's a worthy entry into, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're actually being pretty positive about it. And yet, neither of us are willing to say, like, it's great. We love Thor.
Right.
But, like, we just put it above most of the comic book movies that have come out in recent years.
Right.
So, better than X-Men 2?
No.
No. Better than X-Men 1?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we're just not a Thor high. We need some perspective. But I said it wasn't fair, but I think better than Iron Man 2, worse than Iron Man 1 is a pretty good assessment, I think.
I would.
I think that places people's expectations realistically. all right, so now we're going to get into spoilers for the post-credits scene in Thor. So turn this off if you haven't seen Thor yet, but go see Thor. Yay, bye everybody. All of you guys who stuck around, the people who turned this off are douchebags. So the 12 minutes of credits roll by for Thor. We hear a Foo Fighters song, which I wasn't anticipating.
That Foo Fighters song is in, it's in the movie as well.
Is it really?
I think it's like in the bar scene.
Oh.
It's in the movie somewhere. I want to say it's the bar scene.
So it's like what Hero was to Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Who did that song?
Right?
I can picture the douchebag guy. It's the lead singer of that band. No.
Evanescence did a song for...
Daredevil.
Oh, Daredevil. Sorry. Yeah,
come on now. Associate bad music with Daredevil. Now, that Hero song was the worst. I just can't think of what band that guy sings for. I can't think of it either. But that's a bad song, and that guy's a douche. Okay. 12 minutes of credits roll by.
Yeah.
Stellan Skarsgård is taken to this underground locale where he meets who else? Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury, because he always shows up in the post-credits scene. And I, like you, immediately thought, because earlier in the movie, Stellan Skarsgård makes a reference to his friend who was a pioneer in gamma radiation.
Correct.
And you're like, he's talking about the Hulk.
See, to which point I turned to my wife. I was like, he's talking about
I Bruce thought Banner. About doing that, but I didn't want to be that guy. I'm glad you're that guy.
Yeah, I'm absolutely that guy.
I respect you for being that guy.
I don't want to know if I'm her.
I understand. Honestly, the reason I don't is because I know that, like, I'll mumble it and she'll be like, what? And then it turns, it's like, I shoot it down right away because I'm like, it's going to turn into a thing. And it's not her fault, it's mine.
Who's but, Rooster Banner?
Exactly. And then we're going to miss the next five lines of dialogue or a Foo Fighter song coming up in Thor. So I, like you, immediately think, yeah.
Yes.
He's talking about the Hulk. But of course he's not. Instead, he leads him to this little blue cube, which, again, we as comic book people, or we who know what to expect from the Avengers, know is the cosmic cube,
yep.
The source of all power in the universe, or something, you know, like that. And then we see Loki, who we thought dead, like in a reflection in the glass or something. He's there, but no one can see him.
Correct.
And he says a line of dialogue. Do you remember the line? You just saw it today.
No, I don't remember what it is. I just know that.
Like, I want to get my hands on that.
Yeah.
It's so not that, but like, it's something to the effect of like, that'll be just fine. So he, and then Stellan Skarsgård repeats the line. So now we know that Loki
is him
controlling him through magic. Basically, the gist is Loki will be shortly getting his hands on the cosmic cube.
Right.
Which is, I think, the thrust of the Avengers. That it's Loki and the cosmic cube, and even possibly Skrulls, which I hear over and over again. I heard
that as well.
Which that has me kind of excited.
Yeah.
Because obviously you need a big, big threat, you know, when absolutely. You have all these characters in the same movie. And again, like the Frost Giants, there's a bunch of them, and they all look the same, so it's easy to have the Hulk take on 12 of them, yep. You know, and you don't have to keep straight, who's he fighting? It's just, no, it's just 12 bugs, basically, you know?
Right.
But super underwhelming, unless, again, unfortunately, you know, the internet ruins stuff like this. I didn't know what the post-credit scene was going to be.
No, I purposely stayed away from it.
As did I, but all it did was tell me things that I already knew, like, Loki's going to be in the Avengers, and the Cosmic Cube is going to play a role, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Since I knew that, it just was telling me stuff I already knew. If you're not somebody who reads these blogs or whatever, you have no idea what's going on. I mean, my wife had no idea what any of that meant. All she took away was, oh, Loki's still alive.
Right.
Okay, but that's not that exciting, you know. Like,
right. So well, I really and even felt- as someone who does know what the Cosmic Cube was, I wasn't. I mean, for all the reasons you just said, I still was completely underwhelmed.
Right.
Although, I talked to Adam, who, again, contributed on the superhero podcast, and he and I were talking about the end credits sequence. I told him my disappointment and that it wasn't the Hulk. He's like, but it was the Cosmic Cube! Like, he is who that was for. He could not have been more excited. And I get that, but and maybe because I really wanted it to be the Hulk, but it just didn't.
Or anything that would really set up the Avengers. I mean, I really, because the movie has been cast, because they've now started shooting the Avengers, and you know that they shoot a lot of these things way after the fact. Mm-hmm. I mean, why not bring someone down and have, like, the entire table of the Avengers or something sitting there? You know what I mean? Like, you've got the cast. Have or three or four of them sitting together or something to have us really excited, because instead it's just like,
maybe that's what Hulk or Captain America gives us.
It's going to have to give us something.
I would hope.
Because it's setting up, all they're doing is setting up a little like plot element, but that's not interesting. You need to get people excited about your next movie.
Exactly.
Not like, oh, Loki's alive. Oh, there's a blue cube. Who cares? You know, you need to get people super excited about your next movie.
Was there a post-credits scene for The Incredible Hulk?
I don't remember, because that General Ross and Tony Stark was in the movie, right? Right,
exactly. That's what I was just thinking of, but yeah, there's
so I think there may not have been.
Okay.
So
we've had Iron Man 2, Thor.
Right.
Am I missing any?
No, I don't. I mean, there's that scene in The Incredible Hulk, but it's not the post-credits scene. Right. So yeah, I'm guessing we'll get something in Captain America, but I almost halfway predict that in Captain America, again, if you aren't aware of Captain America or whatever, maybe tune this out, like I halfway predict it's going to end with him like getting frozen in a block of ice, and then the post-credit scene is going to be like
them thawing.
Exactly. But probably not, right? Because doesn't that have to, don't they have to go through that in the Avengers? Yes. Like, we need that beat in the Avengers. And right. there's that cutscene in Incredible Hulk, right? It's
you see his shield
in ice. See, that kind of thing is neat to me.
Oh, I think it's way neat. Right. I love that stuff.
Right. And it's like, it's there if you see it, but it's not a big deal if you don't. Exactly. Whereas this, I just feel like they definitely should have set up something better, I think. Yeah. I think introducing Mark Ruffalo as the Incredible Hulk was the way to go.
Yep.
But I think maybe they thought it would be confusing to people.
Because
if people don't know that he's playing the Incredible Hulk, again, you're like, why is Mark Ruffalo showing up? He's not the Hulk. Right. I thought it was that Australian dude from Funny People. Because I only see Ang Lee's Hulk. Damn it. Captain America, I guess, is really the last one that they sort of have to get right.
Yeah.
You know, because Iron Man worked and the Hulk, for the most part, worked. And now Thor has worked. And so if they can pull off Captain America, they're going into the Avengers with, you know, characters that have been introduced very well in movies that are good and work on their own.
A lot of momentum.
Yeah. What a crazy, ambitious thing that they're going to try and pull
off,
though. I'm
so happy they're doing it.
Me too.
It's, you know, even if they fail, and I don't think they will, but even if they fail, I, you know, applaud them for trying, because it is really awesome. And I think I brought this up in the last Superhero podcast, but have you heard anything else about Marvel doing short films based on, like, sort of B-characters?
No.
I always thought that was a great idea, because I heard they wanted to make short films and, like, run them before these movies, like a 10-minute, you know, Black Panther movie. Or
and was that supposed to be, like, a test? Like,
I thought it was a way to introduce these characters that they're, you know, I don't know what they would do with them beyond these short films, but I understood it to be a way to introduce these characters without giving you a Doctor Strange film, because I assume they figured they would have a hard time selling that, but maybe they'd want to do something with that character.
Okay.
So here's a 10-minute Doctor Strange movie, so you know who he is and maybe, draw some interest.
And
that was a neat idea.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I got the impression that it was like to introduce the character, but so that they could then invest $100 million into a Doctor Strange movie.
Well, yeah,
and hope that, okay, now people know who he is.
And maybe that's absolutely what it is. Like I said, I don't know that they're going to make a Defenders movie, so I don't know what they would do with Doctor Strange other than give him his own movie. But, I was excited about that.
Yeah, me too. And I feel like that's a tricky prospect, though, because they have to make big decisions very early on then.
Oh, absolutely.
They're sort of locked into casting or whatever, you know, and they have to talk some big star or whoever into. I think they've done a great job casting so far. That is one thing that Marvel has really gotten right.
They have.
And I respect that. They were smart to choose, you know, a fairly unknown actor to play Thor, and yet you see it and you're like, boy, this guy's absolutely going to hold his own against all these other people.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's going to be one of the best reasons to see that movie, I think.
Absolutely. It was like Hugh Jackman all over again for me, where when in that, you get going into X-Men.
I think even more so, actually. If only because he had to carry the entire movie.
Well, right.
You know. But yeah, definitely we all came out of X-Men saying like, oh yeah, they really got Wolverine right. Good job finding that guy who I didn't know, you know.
Right. Well, and with Wolverine, I think there were, you stand to piss off a lot more people if you don't get that.
Definitely.
If you don't get that
definitely.
Right. Definitely.
People were looking to hate the guy that played Wolverine.
Absolutely. I think my friends were included. I remember seeing publicity stills with his goofy hair. And thinking, like, who is Hugh Jackman? And
he's too tall.
But no, he nailed it. And Chris Hemsworth was great. I stand corrected.
Yeah. Gladly. Really, really good.
I like them.
Really, really good. And like I said, he alone sort of makes the movie worth seeing. I don't know. Yep. Idris Elba has said in recent weeks that he wants to play Luke Cage, I think I heard.
Okay.
I'm not that interested in a Luke Cage movie.
I
think he should play the Black Panther. I think he'd make it awesome. That I'm all that interested in a Black Panther movie.
Right.
That's the problem with a lot of these comic book movies. I love comic books. I love movies. I love comic book movies, right? I don't think every comic book needs to be its own movie.
I agree.
And I still do think that after next summer, things are going to start to really go downhill. I think we're going to start to get these movies that we're talking about, where it's like characters that probably shouldn't have their own movie. I don't know. We'll see. But next summer is the big one.
Next summer is.
I would have thought this summer was the big one, but next summer, Batman, Superman,
and Avengers. Come on, man.
And Spider-Man. All four in one summer.
My head's going to explode.
But it's like, it's too much. You know? Like, again, I'm excited, but you're talking about every few weeks you have this new flagship comic book movie.
Right. At the end of the day, I wonder what, if people didn't pay attention to critics, because let's say, you know, critics can sway some people here and there. Like, of those, of Avengers, Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, what draws more of an audience?
I'll say Batman.
That would be my... Because
there's so much goodwill and love for The Dark Knight.
And then knowing that it's sort of the end of this little run.
I mean, Spider-Man 3 was the most successful of all the Spider-Mans.
Which is amazing.
That blows your mind, but it's just like so many people went to see that movie, didn't care that it was horrible, you know, it was just like, it was the third one.
I would say Avengers would be right there as well.
Yeah, especially if Captain America is successful. Yep. I mean... That is a crazy prospect to just see all these, just even all these stars in the same movie.
Right,
forget
exactly.
that they're playing these characters. Just this, it's rare to see a movie with this many movie stars in it. Of those,
without the word oceans in front of it.
Of those four, sight unseen, obviously, which are you most excited about?
Before today, I think I would undoubtedly say Batman.
Yeah.
I might still stick with Batman, but I'm really excited as I sit here right now for the Avengers.
Yes.
Again, I love everybody in it.
Except for Black Widow.
Yeah, but I like looking at it. I still like looking at her, so I don't...
Even with her weird yarn hair? Do you think they'll fix the yarn hair for Avengers?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't... It's fine if they don't. I can live with yarn hair.
It should have been Emily Blunt. That's all I'm saying.
I would totally disagree. I'm just talking about visually. I really like Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, but you don't think Emily Blunt would have been much better in that part?
Really like Scarlett Johansson.
To look at.
Yes.
I'm saying, like, who would have been better in that part?
Sure, I'm sure Emily Blunt would have been better.
And you like Scarlett Johansson that much, yarn hair and all?
I find her unbelievably sexy.
Okay.
As sort of played out as she is. And,
yeah.
I still find her incredibly attractive.
She did not register in that movie for me at all. And she should have.
Registered with...
with your pants.
Exactly.
All right, so still Batman?
Maybe, but only slightly. I think if Batman and Avengers are next.
Obviously, it's going to change as soon as we start seeing footage and trailers and all that, you know?
Exactly.
What are you least excited about?
Spider-Man, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm a fan of Zack Snyder, and I'm really curious what he's going to do with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm more curious what he's going to do with Superman than I am curious what Mark Webb is going to do with Spider-Man. I really like Spider-Man. I probably like him better as a character.
Right, yeah, me
but,
too.
But I'm a little less interested in that movie because I'm afraid it's going to be, you know, the joke we've made a million times, like Dawson's Creek.
Right. And to some extent because we've seen Superman before too, but I just feel like with Spider-Man it's like we've really already seen this. But I don't know, right now on paper I'm probably least excited about Superman, even though I like Zack Snyder, and even though, like you said, as soon as I see the first trailer that may completely change and maybe I'll be way on board, but right now I'm a little bit more interested in Spider-Man than I am in Superman, and probably Avengers most of all.
Okay, yeah.
Again,
not gonna argue
first trailer for Dark Knight Rises comes out, and now I'm probably saying something totally different. But right now, in theory, and maybe it's because I'm on a Thor high.
Right.
But yeah, right now I'm most excited about Avengers.
And I also think
it's the culmination of every comic book.
Right, exactly. Like, it can only go up. Where I feel like maybe... I really love The Dark Knight, and maybe Batman can only go down a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah,
that
right.
So for that reason alone, maybe I'm a little more excited for the Avengers.
Yeah, I think.
But it's a good problem to have, I guess. I'm excited for both.
Yeah, me too.
So I agree. It'll probably, you know, tomorrow I might feel differently. I might probably go back and forth. You're right. The second I see that first trailer.
Yeah, right. That whatever it is, that's the one you're most excited about. You know?
All right.
So I guess that's it for Thor.
Yeah, see Thor.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening too. And one day we'll get back to talking about older movies, because lately we've just been doing new releases. But maybe that's good. Maybe that's what people want to hear. I don't know. If you have an opinion, email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for talking about Thor.
Thanks for having me talk about Thor.
Thank you. And we'll see you guys next time. Mike, take us out.
Peace. That's all I can do. I can't. You gotta give me more. Hold on. Let me try it again. All
right.
See ya. Bye for now. Holla.
Whatever you settle on. I mean, that's gonna be your thing. Yeah, no, that's gonna be
I'm just trying to throw everything out.
No, you gotta pick the one that's like your thing that people are gonna see you on the street and they're gonna say it to you.
Meep boop.